Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values are all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah!
Welcome to another week of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. As always, happy to be along with you on the afternoon drive. Local and national sports coming your way, and we'll divvy it up perfectly today. We're going to start by talking to Coach Jim Jokes of the Carbondino Track and Field Squad. Now, Saturday, the spring sports season officially coming to a close in the Castle Country as far as high school goes. Baseball is now complete. Soccer is complete. Track and field is complete. I mean, we're set. Golf is over with. So now we're officially hitting summer, and for the high school kids, their final day of school will be this week. So congratulations to all the graduating seniors, and congratulations to all of the athletes in the local area who've had just sensational 2015-2016 seasons. We're going to talk a little bit about baseball today. We'll go over the academic all-state squads as well, because several athletes from both Carbon and Emory getting that nod, which is that's what it's all about. Remember, these kids are student athletes, so when you excel in the classroom, that always takes precedence over what you can do out on the field or on the court. So we'll talk about that a little bit on the show today. And then again, Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbondino Track and Field Squad will join us to put the final touches on the track and field season, and then we'll just continue that throughout the week, putting final touches on all these spring sports seasons. So it'll be a very busy show today. We'll also get you a NASCAR update. Saturday, if you missed it, Joey Logano winning the Sprint All-Star Cup Series race. Tops Brad Keselowski for first place in that race. We'll get you some audio from that. We'll also go over the sounds of the weekend. There was a lot happening. Nyquist, who I thought had a legitimate chance to win the Triple Crown. I thought he had a legitimate chance. He's outdone in a messy, muddy, rainy mess at Pimlico in the Preakness. Exaggerator gets the best of him. Now the question is, will Nyquist run in the Belmont? I hope so. Because a lot of people don't agree with me on this, because it seems like everybody just wants to see a Triple Crown winner. That's all everybody wants to see, a Triple Crown winner. It's amazing. Nyquist becomes everybody's favorite horse after winning the Kentucky Derby. We got to see a Triple Crown winner last year. An American Pharoah is a legendary horse that earned the right to be a Triple Crown winner. I believe a rivalry in the sport could be just as good as another Triple Crown winner, probably even better than another Triple Crown winner. And I think we could have that between Nyquist and Exaggerator. We'll go over the sounds. Larry Colmus delivered just a fantastic sound. The call was fantastic through and through. So we're going to play you some clips of that a little bit later on. How about some Major League Baseball? Boy, Madison Bumgarner doing some work for the Giants. Yasiel Puig and the Dodgers topped the Padres in 17 last night. And then, of course, you got the NBA playoffs. Draymond Green, he may get suspended for kicking Steven Adams between the legs. And that would be a huge blow to this Golden State Warriors squad, who was thoroughly dominated in game three of the Western Conference Finals. Game four, to me, is still more important for OKC than it is Golden State. And I'll tell you why. Golden State's not going to lose game five at Oracle. If they win game six at OKC, they win the series. Whoever wins game six in this series will win it. They'll win the whole thing, unless we see, you know, OKC put in a situation where they have to win game six to get it to game seven. If things continue to shape out the way they are, I see Golden State winning the series in seven still. Maybe a little delusional. Maybe I'm giving Golden State too much credit, but they are the defending champs. We'll talk about all that. It's coming up on the show today. Outside of that, it's been somewhat of a slow Monday as far as the national sports go. Tom Brady fighting back. I just don't know if we're ever going to get a conclusion to this. He is asking for a second hearing at the Second Circuit. Tom Brady filed an appeal today for a second hearing by the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in regard to his four-game Deflategate suspension, which once again is imposed by the NFL. The court upheld Brady's suspension in a 2-1 decision back on April 25th, deciding that Roger Goodell's discipline was properly grounded in the collective bargaining agreement and that Brady was treated fairly. I'll tell you this, for as tired of this situation and as worn out on the talks as I am, kudos to Tom Brady. I stick up for Brady a lot on the show, and I'm going to stick up for Brady in this instance as well. Because he believes that he is innocent. He's going to, he's laying a lot on the line, and he is not going to accept a four-game suspension. Kudos to Tom Brady. If he is truly innocent, he needs to continue to fight this. I'm tired of talking about it. I'm tired of hearing it. I either want a four-game suspension or no four-game suspension. I wish it was over with last season. I almost wish he would have just served his four-game suspension so we could be done talking about it. That didn't happen, obviously. I am tired of talking about it, but Tom Brady, again, he's fighting for his innocence. He believes he didn't do anything wrong. This may drag out a little bit longer. Hopefully sooner than later we get a final decision on it, because, again, it is getting somewhat boring talking about the same thing over and over in the NFL. Let's take a look at the schedule as far as the national sports scene goes. We have one final earlier today, Pittsburgh topping Colorado 6-3, and we have a full slate of Major League Baseball games. Right now, the White Sox lead the Indians 2-1, this one in the bottom of the fourth inning. And then coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the Mets on the road to take on the Nationals. Philadelphia will be at Detroit, Tampa Bay at the Marlins. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, the Angels will travel to Texas, Kansas City at Minnesota. The White Sox play host to the Indians. The Cardinals will welcome in the Chicago Cubs. Big series there. Oakland at Seattle in the 8 o'clock hour, as well as Cincinnati at the Dodgers and San Diego at San Francisco. That's a look at what's happening in Major League Baseball. NBA basketball, we got a very important game tonight. They say that a series hasn't officially begun until the road team gets a win. In the Cleveland-Toronto series, the road team is yet to get a win. Now, I believe Cleveland will probably get the victory tonight, but Toronto looked very good in Game 3. Bismack Biyombo was fantastic. 26 boards and 4 blocks. And then you had DeRozan and Lowry shooting lights out. They were efficient around that 50% mark. Flip side of that, Kevin Love was not good. He was 1 of 9. Kyrie Irving was like 3 of 19. Tonight's an interesting game. If Toronto can shorten this series and make it 2 out of 3, Cleveland, they may put some pressure on Cleveland. Because there's no doubt the Cavs are the better team. Front to back, the much better team. But that backcourt for Toronto, that's why I've been a believer in Toronto all year long. Is because of DeRozan and because of Lowry. And now because of Bismack Biyombo. Because DeRozan and Biyombo, two guys in a contract year. Sparky Anderson said it. Give me 9 guys in a contract year, I'll give you a World Series. Contract years really have an interesting and fun... They add an interesting and fun dynamic. They have a way of motivating individuals. Toronto, they get a win tonight. We have a series in the Eastern Conference. I'm looking forward to this game. It may be a blowout in favor of Cleveland. The Cavs may find a way to get a win down the stretch. But nonetheless, I think it's going to be an entertaining game just based on the fact that it could be tied 2-2 and nobody gave Toronto a chance in the series. That tip-off tonight is set for 6:30. And then, of course, we get some NHL playoffs continuing to move forward. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty as far as the NHL season goes. Tonight, we get San Jose at St. Louis. The series right now is tied 2-2 in the West. 6 p.m. start time tonight. Tomorrow, the Lightning close out the Penguins. They lead that series 3-2. Tomorrow, we'll get a 6 p.m. start time there as well. That's a quick runaround of what's happening in the national sports scene. We'll get you caught up on the local sports front. And again, Coach Jim Jukes joining us on the show in just a few minutes here on Drive Time Sports. It's a Monday edition, and we're back after this.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for 2, fouls 1.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, I'm Nick Ori. I was born and raised in Carbon County. I grew up on a local farm and know the meaning of hard work. Customer satisfaction is my top priority. Give me a call today at Tony Basso GM, 650-4565.
The best price, a great deal locally every day at Tony Basso GM.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The high school baseball season came to a close in the Castle Country area Friday afternoon as the Carbon Dinos were eliminated from the 3A state tournament with their second consecutive loss, this time falling to Dixie 10-6. Carbon suffered their first loss of the tournament the previous day on Thursday, falling to the eventual 3A state champions in Pineview. In the elimination game, the Dinos never led, but they made things interesting. Falling behind early by 5 runs, the Dinos managed to chop the lead all the way down to 2. Cole Fawcett homered for the 4th time in 4 games for the Dinos in the state tournament. The score was then 7-6. Dixie held a lead over Carbon, and the Dinos had bases loaded with no outs in the 5th inning, but the Dinos could not take advantage. Later on in the contest, in the 6th inning, Carbon had an opportunity to tie the game. Trey Richardson nearly went yard in the 6th with 2 runners aboard. However, his shot to center field fell just short. Carbon finished the game with 5 errors and 9 hits. Dixie would move on but suffer a loss to Cedar, the same team that Carbon beat earlier in the tournament. Again, the 3A state champions ended up being the Pineview Panthers for the 2nd consecutive season. Throughout the week here on KOAL, we'll catch up with head coach Jeff Cincinnatus and we'll recap the 2016 baseball season. After claiming their 3rd consecutive Region 15 title, the Emory Lady Spartans golf team finished 2nd at the 2A state championships. This took place Thursday in Midway at Soldier Hollow. Scoring 246 points, the Lady Spartans finished just behind the state champions Roland Hall, who ended with 267. Beaver finished in 3rd with 216, followed by Grand's 214 and Delta's 204. Millard, Providence, Mesa Prep, San Juan, and Manti rounded out the top 10. Tayshia Price led the way for the Emory Lady Spartans. She scored 74 points in the modified Stableford system while shooting an 88 stroke-wise. Sydney Guyman scored 72 points, and both Sarah Swayze and Aaron Oliverson scored 50. Laney Jensen and Sydney Timothy both scored 47, but neither score counted towards the team's final total. All 6 Lady Spartans had scores that placed them in the top 25 individually. Price finished 6th, just ahead of her teammate Guyman. Swayze and Oliverson both tied for 18th with 2 others. The spring sports season officially came to a close on Saturday, and that means the most important awards of the season are being handed out. Several students from both Carbon and Emory have received recognition for their excellence in the classroom. Carbon's Gabe Van Dyke, Dalton Latimer, and Emory's Travis Felberg all received nods for the award in boys track and field. Van Dyke and Latimer are 2 of 10 that have been selected to the team with a combined GPA of 3.999. Felberg was also 1 of 10 selected to the 2A academic team, which finished with a combined 3.989 GPA. Lexi Munson from the Carbon Dinos track and field squad earned 1 of the 10 spots awarded to the 3A girls as the members accumulated a GPA of 3.99. Tennis player Andrew Richens capped off a fantastic senior campaign. He also received the honor that required a 3.994 GPA. Abram Hatfield and Ethan Shorthill, both members of the Emory boys soccer team, etched their place on the team that finished with a combined 3.987. Softball player Jessica Mason also received the honor, finishing with a group that had a combined 3.98 GPA. The Utah High School Activities Association, in conjunction with the Deseret News, present the Academic All-State Award each year to students on the basis of their athletic ability and academic proficiency. And lastly, the Helper American Legion baseball team will make their return to this season after a 1-year hiatus. Tryouts for this year's team will take place today and tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Legion Field in Helper. All participating Legion teams will be divided into 2 divisions, and a season-ending tournament will take place to decide the state champion. This year, Hilper will field two teams, one in the Legion ranks, while the other will participate in Utah's Perfect Game League. Those will be the younger kids. So all interested in trying out for the team should meet tonight at 6 p.m. at the Hilper Legion Field. If you have any questions, contact head coach Jeff Cincinnatus at 820-8379. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Dad, aren't you forgetting to buckle up?
Yeah, Dad. Come on. You know you're supposed to wear your seatbelt.
You know, honey, I'm with the kids on this one.
Buckle up! Buckle up! Buckle up!
Your loved ones want you to buckle up, and so do we. Seatbelts reduce the risk of injury and death by over 50% when worn correctly. So click it or ticket. Seatbelt enforcement starts now.
Hi, this is Colonel David Smith, commander of the Air Force Reserve's 419th Fighter Wing at Hill Air Force Base in Utah. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine, and provide many adventures. There are many part-time jobs in the Air Force Reserve here in Utah, which will allow you to advance your civilian career or continue your education while serving close to home. The Air Force Reserve offers positions with excellent training, including working with its newest fighter, the F-35 Lightning II. As you learn new skills, you receive competitive pay, tuition assistance, and many other benefits. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212. That's 800-257-1212.
This message is sponsored by the Air Force Reserve and aired by the Utah Association of Broadcasters and this station.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
The spring sports season, it's over here in the Castle Country. The final week of high school, we get graduation on Friday, so we're putting the final touches on the spring season. We'll be recapping a lot of sports throughout the week, and we're going to start by talking track and field. Now, that season came to a close for both Carbon and Emory over the weekend. Friday and Saturday, these two schools, they traveled to BYU for the 2A and 3A state championship. The Carbon boys, they finished 19th in the state, scored just 4 points at the state meet. The Carbon girls, they come in at 10th. Scoring 18 points. Joining us right now to talk about that, we have Coach Jim Jukes. Coach, great to hear from you again.
Well, no problem. I love coming on.
Yeah, we love having you, Coach. And unfortunately, we're going to wrap up the entire 2016 season. It's crazy how fast it went by. But over the weekend, you guys wrapped things up at the state meet, BYU once again. You guys got a feel for this track a couple of weeks ago. All in all, the girls finished 10th, the boys finished 19th. How did you assess the team's performance?
Really well. I was really impressed with how they came, and most of them PR'd or got personal records in their events, which is really the overall goal, is to get them to perform their best at state. I think we achieved that.
It's always difficult to, the tough thing is people look at it and they say 19th and 10th in the state. That doesn't necessarily dictate what the entire season was for you guys. I mean, the 3A is very, very competitive, and I know throughout the year you guys had a lot of success on the girls' side of the track. So it's always difficult, isn't it, at the end of the season to see, okay, well, we barely finished in the top 10. You guys still had a terrific season.
Yeah, it's harder. What people don't realize is track is about being good in everything. I mean, you got to have kids in all of these different events that are placing in the top 10, and when it comes down to it, size of your school matters a little bit. And so, you know, you look at the teams that usually win the state tournament in 3A, it's usually your bigger end of the 3A, like your Cedar City won on the girls' side this year, Desert Hills won on the guys' side. They are two of the biggest 3A schools, and therefore they have a lot more talent pool than the rest of the 3A schools. And so it comes down to, the number of athletes you can get and stuff like that. But our kids that we had, you know, granted we had 85 kids on the team, which is a great number for us. Out of that group, we've got a lot of young kids that are performing well, and we're building up to something special.
you talk about how the bigger schools typically get the win. I can compare track. I always compare track and field to swimming. A lot of the times your state champions, they're not necessarily finishing first and second in every event, but it's when they finish third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, and you accumulate a great deal of points. That happens a lot in track and field as well.
It does. You know, they place the top eight, and so if you can put four or five kids in the top eight, all of a sudden you're scoring more points, even though if you have a kid win the state title, you can still outscore that one team if you can put three or four kids up there.
Let's talk about some of the big individual finishers. Sarah Weiler had a couple of top five finishes for you guys in the long jump and also in the 100-meter hurdles. She put together just a brilliant year.
She's been phenomenal this year, and I think she peaked a little bit early in the season, and then she got to state, and she ran really well in the hurdles. I think the long jump was there was a lot of pressure there because she was the top seed coming in, and it's hard. You never know in a field event who's going to jump and how well they're going to jump and the conditions you're jumping in. And so it's always kind of a toss-up. I think she was a little disappointed where she was at, but I think it's a good learning curve for her to know what it felt like to go in as the top dog and get beat. And I think that will make her that much better for next year. And I think she's improved so much this year that I think the goal is, you know, to just come right back next year and learn from this year and be that much better next year.
You talk about her peaking at the beginning of the season. I mean, she was absolutely dynamic. We're talking about Sarah winning anywhere from two to three events early on in the year. How did you assess her entire season?
Well, you know, she went, I mean, she jumped that 18-foot jump at our home invitational and then followed up with another 18-foot jump, and she got her three-step and her hurdles down. The hurdles, she's just going to continue to get better in those hurdles, and it's just going to come with time. And I think there's a little bit added pressure when all of a sudden you realize that everybody's getting for you and whatnot. But I think to the basics of being loose and relaxed when she's competing and doing that kind of stuff.
We'll continue to talk about some other individual performances. Sarah Morley, she finishes fifth in the shot put, sixth in the discus. It was great to score some points in these events on the girls' side of the track throughout the year.
Yeah, it was. It was really great to, you know, and it's the first time since I've been a coach and first time since I can remember where we've been able to place girls in each of the throwing events, and make the finals in each of those events. We had Sarah Morley made the final in the shot and the disc, and then we had Caitlin Dimmick, our little freshman, made finals in the jab. And so that was a new development that we hadn't ran into.
Yeah, it definitely helps. I mean, as we're talking about every point really adding up to complete that total for you. Again, our guest right now is Coach Jim Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. Coach, let's flip it over. Let's talk about the boys. Gabe Van Dyke gives us a top five finish in the 300-meter hurdles. Gabe has been really fun to talk about over the last couple of years because essentially he came out of nowhere to really give you guys a boost over the last couple of years.
Right. You know, and Gabe is just, he found it. You know, he found a passion for the hurdles, and he went after it. And the funny thing was is he ran a personal best up there at BYU in the final to take fifth, but there was still some things in his hurdling that I think if he could go back and correct, he could have gone even faster. But Gabe is, he's not just a good kid on the track, he's a good kid in the classroom as well. He was an academic All-State, he's an amazing kid, I look forward to him doing a lot of things in life outside of athletics that could be really, really impressive.
So the boys finished 19th, the girls finished 10th. Coach, I want to go back to the BYU Invitational. I know the objective of that particular meet is to prepare these kids for state. Did that work this year for you guys?
I think it really did because, you know, we had Caitlin Dimmick through discus at that meet. And as a freshman, it was a little intimidating because you get in there and the number of people that are there, and it's just, it's a hard venue and to be ready for. And she really, you know, she was really nervous that day at BYU, and then when we came to state, she was as calm and really excelled. And I think that BYU meet kind of helped prepare her for the magnitude of the state meet.
That's exactly what you want to accomplish, right, at the BYU Invitational. That's the main objective.
Yeah, and that's the only way you can do it is that way. It's not, it's definitely not our favorite meet because we're really limited to the number of athletes that we can take to that meet, but it's really the only way you can prepare these kids for that kind of a stage to perform on. I don't think there's any other state meet or state even venue that you go to that has that many spectators, that has 1A through 5A, that has so much going on, and everywhere you look, there's coaches from all these other schools, athletes from all these other schools. You have college coaches in the ranks. You don't see that anywhere, and so it's definitely a good place for them to see that.
You know, you have a lot of underclassmen on both sides, Coach. A lot of them are double sport athletes. Now that the spring sports season is over and we have graduation this week, we're going into the summer, I'm sure it's got to be a relief for some of these kids to finally get to step back and breathe.
It is, and I think it's important. It's so, like me as a coach, I actually went down and made sure we had all of our stuff kind of put up in a way, because some of these kids want to go down and still work and stuff, and I think they need to take some time to, you know, get through graduation week, enjoy the time away, because they don't need to be pounded on their legs nonstop. And my thing is, I think kids need to spend some time with their families, go on vacation, you know, go and have fun, be a kid. You're only in high school once.
Yeah. Yeah, Dad, once these times are gone, they don't come back, that's for sure. What does the summer look like for you as a coach and your coaching staff? Do you guys stay at it hard, or do you take a step back as well?
Well, I take a step back. You know, I mean, usually after the season, I'll take a step back and kind of evaluate how we did as a coaching staff, evaluate where our kids are, and really kind of self-evaluate, you know, where I am with my family and priorities and stuff. You know, you can't coach forever, and so you always want to take some time to look at, make sure your program's going in the right direction, and, you know, whether you can continue to dedicate that amount of time to the kids. Because, you know, when you're a coach, and I think every coach will relate with this, is when you're coaching, all those kids kind of become your kids. And so my family grows from, you know, my two boys to 85 kids plus my two boys. And it takes a toll on you when you care a lot about the kids, and you see a lot of good things and a lot of hard things that happen there as well. And so it's good to evaluate that.
If you got to go back, Coach, over the course of the 2016 year, does one moment stand out to you as kind of the crowning jewel for this team?
I think the Eastern Utah Championship, our home meet, was really kind of the biggest goal that we had this year was to win that on the girls' side and bring that home. I think that night, the team as a whole had a lot of fun. I mean, anybody that follows any of those kids on Instagram got their full share of Instagram photos that night. And we had a really fun night that night. And I think that's what it all comes down to, is the kids performing well and getting an accomplishment like that was probably the crowning jewel of our season this year. I think having a lot of our freshmen step up and run the way that they did this year was awesome. And so seeing kind of how it all pans out and going that route.
Well, it was definitely a fun year. It goes by in a hurry, Coach, as it does every year. I'm definitely really appreciative of you always taking out the time to join us each week and talk a little bit about the kids and give us an update on the team. So I appreciate that. And, again, congratulations on a great year.
Well, thank you very much, Jordan.
That's Coach Jimmy Jukes of the Carbon Dino Track and Field Squad. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll get you your NASCAR update. Who won the All-Star race? If you missed it, we'll get you some audio from that. Also, we'll go over the sounds of some of the biggest sport events of the weekend, including the Preakness. A lot more coming up here on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the Utah Jazz.
A little less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun, a little less time.
What do you think of in springtime? What about hosting a big family barbecue on the lawn? KFC and A&W has all the hamburgers, hot dogs, and shakes to make your springtime bash a scrumptious success. Pick up some mouth-watering Papa Burgers, a zesty cheesy Coney dog, and plenty of fries, onion rings, and corn dog nuggets for the family. Want to hit a home run with your kid's baseball team? KFC and A&W is the spot to take the team out for celebratory shakes, root beer floats, and polar swirls. Spring is the time of hamburgers and hot dogs at KFC and A&W.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA. Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Catton and Miller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
3, 2, 1. Gentlemen, start your engines.
It's time for the weekly NASCAR Sprint Cup Series update here on Drive Time Sports. And Saturday on KOAL 1039 FM and 750 AM, Joey Logano took home the checkered flag in the 2016 Sprint All-Star Race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Logano led just 12 out of the 113 laps, but that was enough to take home the checkered flag, knocking off Brad Keselowski, who finished second. Dale Earnhardt Jr., Carl Edwards, and Kurt Busch rounded out the top five. Chase Elliott, Trevor Bayne, Craig Biffle, Denny Hamlin, and Kyle Busch completed the top 10. Following the race, Logano talked about his victory in the All-Star race.
Awesome race. I thought it went great. What a great car. It says a lot about our race team. To unload today with a completely new package, have 10 minutes of practice, and unload and say, car's pretty good. Don't really have much to say. It's a couple little adjustments. We really only made one change on our car. It's only, you know, about the only amount of time we had in practice to make one change. And same for everybody, but you know, overall I felt like our car was competitive. We started the race and was able to move forward. We got lucky and not lucky at the same time, and that caution came out. We lost three or four spots, but we didn't get caught by not pitting when that caution came out and having to pit under green and all that stuff. So, I thought our car was fast the whole time. We just didn't really show the speed in our car until the end.
Second place finisher Brad Keselowski talked about his team's performance.
I guess a decent night, but not the great night we wanted with the Miller Lite Ford. Ending up second, really happy for my teammate Joey Logano. He kind of did exactly what you would expect out of an all-star race format and made a pretty incredible pass to win a race. So happy for Team Penske as a whole, but of course wish it was me in victory lane. I mean, there was a last lap or next to last lap pass for the lead. There were several passes for the lead. The last four races, there hasn't been a pass for the lead in the last 20 or 30 laps. So I think our fans deserve a better format than that, and they got that today. I don't know how you can get much more compelling racing than what we saw today.
Now, the All-Star race has no bearing on the current NASCAR Sprint Cup Series standings. As it sits right now, Kyle Busch is at the top of the standings with 397 points, marking that off of 3 wins, 1 pole, and 9 top five finishes. Carl Edwards is in second with 381 points, followed by Jimmy Johnson in third, Brad Keselowski fourth, Kevin Harvick fifth, Matt Kenseth sixth, Denny Hamlin seventh, Kurt Busch eighth, Chase Elliott ninth, Joey Logano tenth, Martin Truex Jr. 11th, Austin Dillon 12th, Dale Earnhardt Jr. 13th, Jamie McMurray 14th, Ryan Blaney and A.J. Allmendinger coming in 15th and 16th as they hold on to the final two spots for the chase for the Sprint Cup. Ryan Newman and Trevor Bayne are just on the outside looking in. The final Sprint Cup Series race of the month will take place this Sunday with the Coca-Cola 600 again at Charlotte Motor Speedway. That race will begin live here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM beginning at 4 p.m. Remember that KOAL is your home for NASCAR Sprint Cup Series racing.
They say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Steak and eggs, French toast, pancakes, or even an omelet. That's reason enough for me to follow this great advice. And my favorite place for breakfast is Big Mo's. I love that they have so many choices and can order something different every time. Plus, at Big Mo's, they serve breakfast all day long, so I can get my breakfast fix any time of the day. I think I'll have the biscuits and gravy for lunch today. Visit Big Mo's on 7th East. Next time you're craving breakfast, you can even call for takeout, 636-0451.
Hot wings, pizza, fried chicken. What's your favorite snack while watching TV? No matter what you like to snack on, Smith's Food and Drug has you covered. Stop into the Hot Deli where you'll find a lot of prepared foods ready to enjoy. Barbecued rotisserie and fried chicken, corn dogs, potato salads, pasta salads, and baked beans. Fresh sliced meats and cheeses are just some of the great things that you'll find at your neighborhood Smith's Food and Drug. Check Smith's out today and remember the short line guarantee. If there are two or more people in line, Smith's opens another check stand.
To the 16th pole, the Gutty Nyquist is coming out of it second, and then Stradivari, followed by Cherry Wine. But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
Bismack Biyombo has just put Toronto up 14 with 3:38 to play.
Toronto, in their first ever conference finals game, will secure the win. The final buzzer goes, and Toronto has secured a 15-point win and picked up the victory.
They're going to try and shut off the run. The 1-0 pitch, ground ball up the middle, base hit. Yasiel Puig delivers the two-run single in the top of the 17th inning, and the Dodgers take the lead.
In the ninth, two down, two strikes to count. And here's the pitch.
He struck it out. The ball game is over, and the Giants, after getting overwhelmed here on Friday by the Cubs and their ace, Jake Arrieta, come back to take the final two.
A franchise playoff record-breaking Thunder roll to a Game 3 obliteration of the defending champion Golden State Warriors, 133-105. Puts the Thunder up in this Western Conference Finals, two victories to one, now two wins away from the NBA Finals for the second time in 5 years.
Some of the sounds from this weekend in the national sports scene, starting on Saturday when Nyquist's dream to become a Triple Crown winner came to a close, his rival Exaggerator getting the best of him at Pimlico in the Preakness. And then, of course, you heard some baseball. Yasiel Puig last night knocking off the San Diego Padres in 17 innings. We had Madison Bumgarner just doing some major work as the Giants took two out of three from the Chicago Cubs. And then, of course, we had some NBA basketball. Bismack Biyombo continuing to add to his bank account. He's going to get paid this summer. I see about a $45 million contract coming to Bismack Biyombo in the offseason. The Toronto Raptors win their first ever Eastern Conference playoff game and their first ever Eastern Conference playoff game at home. And then we had the Oklahoma City Thunder embarrassing the defending champion Golden State Warriors. This series is actually getting more and more bizarre by the day. It's not living up to the billing, that's for sure. I mean, seriously, based on the way these two teams were playing going into the Western Conference Finals, I thought every game would come down to the very wire. But that has not been the case. I mean, we've had two blowouts and one interesting game, and that was in Game 1. So the series has been very inconsistent, very weird, and now we have the looming suspension of Draymond Green. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Game 3, Green gets the ball near the low block, turns around, has the ball stripped, loses control of his body apparently, and he kicks Steven Adams right between the legs. Now, I've heard both sides of the argument from different pundits and different radio hosts that I communicate with on a daily basis. And the argument that Draymond Green was just out of control, didn't do it on purpose, it doesn't matter. Okay, the fact is, he still did it. He still kicked somebody between the legs. Like, it's a flagrant one foul. Now, Dante Jones, he suspended one game because at the end of Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals, he was frustrated and he punched Bismack Biyombo between the legs. He gets a one-game suspension. That leads me to believe that Draymond Green's not going to get suspended. Because there is no doubt that Dante Jones clearly punched Bismack Biyombo between the legs. That was clearly done out of frustration. I personally believe that Draymond Green kicked Steven Adams on purpose. I think it was done intentionally. I still don't think he gets a suspension, because if the league is going to suspend Dante Jones for one game for blatantly punching Bismack, how can you suspend Draymond Green for allegedly losing control and just being out of control, going up and kicking somebody between the legs? You kind of set the precedent there with the suspension of Dante Jones. Now, if Dante would have gotten two games, I could see Draymond getting one. I don't think he gets suspended. I think he should. I think he should be suspended because, again, a lot of talk going into the series who would snap first, Steven Adams or Andrew Bogut? For me, that was never the question. Bogut was never the question. For me, the question was Steven Adams or Draymond Green. Because Draymond talks a lot of trash. He's one of the best trash talkers in the NBA. Right up there with Steph Curry, who is also a terrific trash talker. The Golden State Warriors are cocky. They're very brash. But it's cute because they won 73 games. It's cute because Steph Curry's a point guard. He's doing things that we have never done. He's not a big guy out there talking smack. He's doing it while knocking down 30-footers. It's cute. Draymond Green is doing it while shutting down opposing teams' best players and winning. So it's okay. We can look past the trash talking of the Golden State Warriors, right? Oklahoma City, they're just as brash. And they have been there before as well. They may not have an NBA championship, but they have been there before. Steven Adams is not afraid of Draymond Green. Russell Westbrook is not afraid of Steph Curry. He has made that abundantly clear. This Oklahoma City team is here to play basketball. And I think that Golden State thought that they would truly walk in and dominate thoroughly Oklahoma City. Because, again, this is a Golden State team that has rarely been tested in the postseason. Rarely. You can even go back to last season. They were rarely tested. Yeah, they trailed 2-1 in the NBA Finals. I don't think anybody ever thought that Cleveland was going to win an NBA championship last year. This team is now being tested for the very first time since becoming NBA champions, since making an incredible run last season. I think this is the first time that they are really being tested, and they don't necessarily know how to handle it. Draymond Green, he handled it with frustration and kicking Steven Adams. He should be suspended, but he won't. And the argument that he shouldn't be suspended because it's cheating the fans, that's a horrible, horrible reason to not suspend somebody. A foul is a foul in the first quarter, just like it is in the fourth quarter. Here's Draymond Green earlier today talking about the kick heard around the world. He also talked about the comparisons to Dante Jones and was asked by a media member if he was preparing for the worst as far as the suspension goes.
Like I said, I see how somebody can think it was intentional, but yet nobody can go in my head and say Draymond was thinking about kicking him, and he kicked him. If you watch my reaction, I walk back to the three-point line, clap everybody hand, turn around, and look like this dude on 4-4. So, you know, all the camera angles out there, they can see that too. I didn't see the Dante Jones incident, but from what I heard, he punched him. If I come punch you in your head, I probably did that on purpose because I'm going to intentionally use my arm. I don't think you can ever really compare a leg to an arm.
Are you bracing for the worst right now? Or?
No. I'm not braced for the worst because I don't... Russell Westbrook kicked me at the end of the half. He just didn't happen to catch me where I happened to caught Steven Adams at. So, no, I'm not bracing for the worst.
Again, that's Draymond Green earlier today talking about the kick to the groin of Steven Adams on if he believes he would be suspended for it as well. Here's the thing. If Draymond Green is suspended, obviously it'll be a one-game suspension, and I do believe that Golden State would then lose game four and they would be down 3-1. I still wouldn't throw dirt on the Warriors just yet in this series because, again, logically speaking, what are the odds that Oklahoma City would eliminate them in game five at Oracle? Very slim. So, of course, you would expect Golden State to win game five. Then all the pressure is shifted to Oklahoma City because they have to win at Chesapeake Arena. They're not going to win a game seven at Oracle. But this series gets more interesting by the day, more topsy-turvy than anyone could have expected, really is setting up an interesting showdown in the NBA Finals, regardless who it is. I believe that Cleveland has a better chance of beating Oklahoma City than they do Golden State. But again, they have their hands full with Toronto, and if the Raptors can get a win tonight, which is unlikely, but if they can, we have a real series on our hands in the Eastern Conference. And I think now's the perfect time to flip over to that contest, because Game 3 was extremely fun. But when you look at it on paper, it's no surprise that Toronto won this game and that they won it handedly. LeBron James was pretty good for Cleveland. The officiating was horrible in this game. I can't believe some of the calls in this game against Toronto. But Kyle Lowry shot over 50%. DeMar DeRozan shot right at 50%. Kevin Love was 1 of 9. Kyrie Irving was 3 of 19. There you have it. Bismack Biyombo had 26 rebounds in this contest. Can you believe that? 26 boards he had in this one game and 4 blocks. Third best player on the Raptors team. And this guy only has a $2.9 million player option for next year. If Toronto wants to keep Bismack, they are going to have to pay him because he is adding to his bank account each game in this series. That's a guy that is now probably going to get anywhere from $45 to $50 million over the next 3 to 4 years this offseason. Bismack is playing out of his mind. And the only question I have for Tyronn Lue, like if I could sit and talk to Tyronn Lue right now, I would want to know why Timothy Mozgov, a guy who was so key to Cleveland's success last season, is playing garbage time minutes, especially with Bismack putting up the numbers that he put up in Game 3. Maybe we see more Timothy Mozgov. There's been reports that Cleveland's going to change things up drastically for tonight's game. All I know is that this series is now really interesting. And they say a series never begins until somebody wins on the road. Well, if Toronto gets a win tonight, it's a best 2 out of 3 set. And with their backcourt, they're extremely dangerous. I still don't think they get the win tonight, though. However, if I'm a Cleveland Cavalier fan, I would get nervous if this series, is shortened. And by shortened, I mean Toronto making it a best 2 out of 3. Because Lowry and DeRozan can score in volume. I'm looking forward to tonight's game. I'm really curious to see what game plan changes Cleveland brings to the table. I want to see more Timothy Mozgov. And if Cleveland by chance does play OKC in the next round, Mozgov is going to have to play a factor. There's too many bigs on this OKC team with Steven Adams and Serge Ibaka and Enes Kanter. Mozgov's body, his frame, it would be important in that series. But I think he may be the forgotten man. We've got to pause for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Crab fishing, one of the deadliest jobs in the country. Fishermen go toe-to-toe with Mother Nature using 700-pound steel traps that are dropped 400 feet below the ocean surface to capture this delicacy. But we live in the desert, and there's no crab anywhere.
Until now. It's the brand new Crab Oscar Pizza at Big Don's in Price. This creation is a white sauce-based pizza topped with bacon, onions, asparagus, and crab. Get yours today at Big Don's, located at 170 West 100 North in Price. Call 637-DONS for takeout or delivery.
The Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern is one of the most popular programs on the campus. The criminal justice field offers a wide variety of job options with this degree, not just in law enforcement and corrections, but also careers in the court system and attorneys or at their law offices. Their classes are generally smaller and they have the lowest tuition rates in the state. There is also financial aid available for those that qualify. For more information on the Criminal Justice Program at USU Eastern, contact Scott Henry at 435-613-5135.
You've worked and cooked all week long. Insist that your other half takes you to the Cowboy Kitchen in Wellington for the Saturday night special. This is Ty at the Cowboy Kitchen. Each Saturday, we offer a different 5-course meal consisting of appetizer, soup, salad, entree, and dessert for only $24.25. Want a night out in the middle of the week? Every Wednesday, I create a unique pasta dish complete with soup, salad, and bread for only $14.95. At the Cowboy's Kitchen, we serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. We open at 7 a.m. and close at 10 p.m., close at 11 p.m. Friday and Saturday.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV, thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
For over 50 years, News Talk KOAL's Barter Bar has helped listeners buy, sell, and trade from everyday common items to the unusual. You'll hear it on Barter Bar. Holding a yard sale? Looking for furniture? Or want to trade your car? Put it on Barter Bar, online and on air. Barter Bar, a Castle Country tradition. Weekday mornings at 9:30 on News Talk 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. KOAL.
This is not Ron Artest. This is Tim Northern. And Drive Time Sports is what you're listening to with Jordan Buscarini. You know, I played golf with Jordan one time, and he sucks.
1, 2, 1, woo!
Thank you to put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports. How about some tomfoolery for you before we close out the show? Colin Coward, who I love. I think Colin Coward is one of the best in the sports talk radio business. Had an interesting quote today. My intel, here's the quote from Colin, by the way. My intel is Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. It's going to happen. It changed late last week. Got a call, then somebody else sent me something yesterday and Saturday. We've booked rooms in Vegas. Now, according to Colin Coward, he believes the fight is going to take place on September 17th. I'll tell you why I think this fight is now actually going to happen. I've seen national interviews with both individuals talking about it. You know, when Twitter rumors kick up, if they're not real, sometimes they just go away. But these two have done a great job of keeping the rumor fresh in the minds of the spectators in the sports world. Conor McGregor had a sit-down interview. He talked a little bit about it. I believe he said it was possible. I do know he said Floyd Mayweather needs him more than he needs Floyd Mayweather. Yeah, that's not true. That's not true at all. And anybody who believes that, you don't believe that. Look, Floyd Mayweather will come back tomorrow. He'll make $100 million by fighting Danny Garcia. I think a lot of people will pay to see this fight. I would actually have a hard time paying for the fight. I'll be honest. I would do it. I'm not going to lie to you. I would do it. But I would have a lot more difficult time paying for this fight than I would paying for Floyd and Adrian Broner. I'd have a harder time. And I'm talking from a Floyd Mayweather perspective because I'm a boxing guy. I would have a hard time paying for it because it's not going to be a fight. McGregor will not hit Mayweather. He won't hit him. Hey, put Mayweather in the octagon. McGregor kills him. He'd probably embarrass him. I'm not going to say to the extent Floyd will in the ring because McGregor won't hit Floyd. He won't hit him. Floyd's too smart. McGregor's not a great boxer. He's okay. He's not world class at it. Floyd's one of the greatest of all time. I do think this fight's going to happen, though. And I said it's tomfoolery because I really don't want to see it. It'll be a professional boxing fight, and it would count as 50 for Floyd Mayweather. I won't count it as 50, though. You got to fight a legitimate boxer. Fight a legitimate boxer if you want 50. Colin Coward says it's going to happen. Tonight, plenty of action for you. Again, you got the Stanley Cup playoffs. They continue at 6 p.m. San Jose taking on St. Louis. Cleveland in the NBA on the road taking on Toronto in a very important game four. I'm really looking forward to this one. And then, of course, we got a full slate of Major League Baseball games. They're about to get rolling here in just a moment. And a quick note, Jonas Valanciunas will go through a warm-up before determining if he will play tonight. How much of an impact will Valanciunas have on tonight's game? I don't know, because Biombo is playing way too good right now. We'll talk about this game and more on tomorrow's show. Thank you to Coach Jimmy Jukes. We'll catch you then, same time, same place, 4 to 5. Be safe. I am out.